Welcome to the Bougie Black Brother Network.
Hello, thank you for tuning in today to Bougie Black Brothers Network. This is Sean. I am here with Pamela J. Booker today. How are you doing today, Pamela?
I am great. How are you?
Awesome, awesome. Today we have Pamela here. We're going to be interviewing her on our Hidden Gems podcast. And Pamela, we are a little bit out here. How was your trip getting here today?
It was good. I wish I'd packed some Funyuns and Skittles and maybe a Mountain Dew. It wasn't too bad, though. I just wasn't expecting all the cars to be on the road. But it is Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah. And then on the north side, you know. So you have your own hair product company,
yes.
Correct? Go ahead and, if you can, get into a little bit of details on that for me, please.
So Coils by Nature is an all-natural hair and skincare company, and we are vegan certified and cruelty-free certified. I wanted to create something that is good for you and affordable at the same time. So I created Coils by Nature about 7 years ago.
I see also you were in the military. How long were you in the military for?
4 years.
Okay, and... So you just did the whole four-year term and was like, I'm out of here.
Yes. I knew I was only a one-term soldier. Like, okay. I knew that.
From day one?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Basic training. Yep.
Right,
this
right.
This is, yep, 4 years. When do I get out? Okay, yeah.
Awesome. So what did you really learn or pick up while you were in there those 4 years that actually still helps you today?
Well, the military, joining the United States Army, it was one of the best decisions that I made in my life.
Okay.
It taught me that I can accomplish anything that I set my mind to, because they continuously put challenges in front of you and you have to either face it or get out. So just even with basic training, certain things that we had to do in basic training, never thought that I would be firing a M16 A2 rifle, you know, gas powered semi-automatic weapon. Some of the things you just don't forget.
Right.
But I never thought I would do that. I never thought that I would be like a marksman. I never thought that I could climb that wall and low crawl and mud and barbed wire and, you know, be under live fire and all of that stuff. So, and even like the gas chamber. So everything, I set a goal like, well, if I can accomplish the gas chamber,
right,
they're not going to accomplish anything, you know. So it really taught me that, and it also taught me about teamwork and working together as a team and knowing that you can't do everything on your own. Like, you really need people there to support you and to help you.
Awesome. So do you feel like if you wouldn't have took those 4 years in the military, do you feel like your entrepreneur skills would be where they are now? Like, do you feel like the military could have contributed to not only you saying I can do whatever I want, but you having that entrepreneurial drive?
It has something to do with it.
Okay.
I can say that. Because you have to have a certain type of work ethic to be an entrepreneur.
Exactly.
You have to have a certain type of drive. But that entrepreneurial spirit was in me way before the military. And I knew that the military was a good stepping stone to that journey.
Okay. So you grew up in Carolina? Is that,
yes,
Beaufort?
Beaufort, South Carolina.
Okay. Is there, there's some history in that city, mm-hmm, or isn't it that town?
Yes.
Could you get into a little detail on some of the history and where you grew up at?
So we're claiming, Beaufort is claiming to be one of the oldest cities in America. Before, what's the name of that city in Florida? I forgot the name of the city in Florida, but now they're claiming because they found some village that was there of settlers that was there before the city in Florida, St. Augustine, Florida.
Okay.
So, but we have, Beaufort has the Geechee Gullah people, and we have right. the richest West African culture in the United States of America.
Really?
Absolutely. If you come to Beaufort, everywhere I go, people either think I'm from the islands or what country in Africa I'm from.
Wow. Right?
And we speak, they call it broken English, but it's our Geechee Gullah language. And we eat a certain way. We eat rice every day. My grandma used to say, your pot ain't cook unless you got a pot of rice on the stove. So... like, girl, where your pot of rice at? Like, I don't have rice. I'm having spaghetti.
Spaghetti, right?
Well, you need a pot of rice with that spaghetti. So certain things we have culture.
Okay.
And I didn't realize that I had culture until I left.
Right.
Right? I didn't know. I thought all black people in the United States of America ate rice every day. I thought all black people, you know, stew fish in the morning and eat stew fish and grits in the morning. You don't stew your fish? You don't eat fish and grits? No?
And I thought that was an up north thing. And you're from Carolina and y'all do that. That's interesting.
Because... and I'm doing this ancestry thing because during the Great Migration, a lot of people from South Carolina went to New York.
Okay.
So I'm finding family members, like my grandfather went to New York. His parents went to New York
okay.
for the Great Migration. So we migrated up there. So the majority of the people from New York are from South Carolina, somewhere in the South.
Yeah, my mom's grandfather, my mom's father, my grandfather, he stays in South Carolina. He's been there for a while, but he came there. I think he came there from the military.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, a lot of our family members are from Carolina.
Yes.
Like there's a street, there's a Ballinger Street in Carolina, and that's our family.
Wow.
Know? So that's interesting that you say that because I got family in Carolina and then I got mad family in New York. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So that's interesting. When did you realize that you wanted to stop putting chemicals in your hair?
I was training for a marathon. I was 26. I was 26 years old. I decided to, it was a foundation, a Walt Whitman Foundation in DC. Mm-hmm. I lived in the DMV area. And they were raising money for people living with HIV and AIDS.
Okay.
So I was running a marathon to raise money. And while I was running this, training for the marathon, because it took 6 months to train for the marathon, I found that I had a shortcut. Mm-hmm. I got my hair was colored. I got my hair done every 2 weeks. And I found that I was relaxing my hair more and more. Because I was literally sweating my hair, my perm out.
Right.
Like, I didn't know that was a thing for real.
Okay.
Because I was training so much for this marathon. And I didn't even train that much in the military. I didn't have that much training in the military. We would train certain days of the week, but it wasn't that constant training for 6 months. So I was like, man, this can't be good. Like, I'm relaxing my hair way too much.
Yeah.
So... after I ran the marathon and I kept admiring ladies because I never knew what natural was, what going natural was.
Right.
I just knew that I wanted to cut all the perm out of my hair and I didn't even use the term natural. I said I wanted to look like her. I'll see a lady with a short haircut or I'll see a lady with locks. And I was like, I want my hair like that.
Yeah.
Right. I didn't call it going natural, okay. Right? I just wanted to cut all of her locks out of my hair.
You said you was what, 21?
I was 27.
27.
26,
okay.
27. And then when I got pregnant with my son, I was like, you know what? This is the perfect time to do it because I'm pregnant. And since I can't color my hair, I don't think I should be relaxing my hair anyway. So I let my hair grow out for about 3 months, like with no relaxer. And I was like, look, this is a struggle. So I said, either I'm going to go to the barbershop or I'm going to go to the beauty supply store and get a perm.
Got you.
So the barbershop came first.
Okay.
And when I went to the barbershop, the guy was like, I just want you to cut all of the relaxer off, like all of the straight ends. He was like, you sure? What your man going to say about this?
There like, you go. And that's when it started.
Bruh.
Right.
Like, what?
Mind your business.
Right. I was like, I'm good. I promise you I'm good. So I came home. He's my husband now. He was right. Like, okay, that's right. What we doing. I was like, this is what we doing. He was like, all right.
Ooh, right.
So that's when I decided, like, this is enough for me.
Okay, so that's interesting. So so how long was it before you started messing with the hair care products? Not your own, but okay, after you got that first haircut, when were you like, okay, I need to start moisturizing my hair a little more? Mm-hmm. Or how did that come about?
That came about like soon after.
Okay.
Because I was used to a relaxer.
Right.
So it was just a flat iron. I had a flat iron. I had some grease and that's it. You know what I'm saying? Some grease and that's it. I had Pantene, like conditioner and shampoo to wash my hair. That was it. So when I went to work, one of the girls was like, oh, you know, you should put black gel in your hair. It'll make your hair curl up. And I was like, oh, okay, let me do that. So I wet my hair, put the black gel in my hair. And I was like, oh, I really do have Indian in my family. Like, look at my hair curling up, y'all. Look at this. But by the end of the day, my hair was rock hard. I was like, like, nah, this is not supposed to feel like this. Like, this is terrible. So then I was like, it's got to be products out there for this hair texture.
Okay.
And then people telling me use Paul Mitchell and all of this stuff. So I started using all of this
stuff. Testing, yeah. Trial and error.
Man, but nothing was working. Okay. My hair was super duper dry.
So I'm sorry to interrupt.
You good.
Real quickly, tell me about your grade of hair then.
It is. I don't like the terms of the alphabetical system that they have associated with natural hair, the A, B, and C texture.
I don't understand it either.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's all marketing. So my hair texture is fine.
Okay.
It's fine and it's curly in some sections. It's looser in other sections. But, you know, it's very fine.
Okay.
People think when they see my hair, like, oh, I have thick hair. But as soon as you wet it,
it doesn't hold.
It disappears.
Gotcha.
I don't have thick hair. I don't have a lot of strands. So my hair is very fine.
Okay. All right. So, you started testing out the products.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the first product that you found that was like, okay, this actually works better than all the other ones?
It was Talia Wajid's. I think it was like protein spray.
Okay.
I used to get it from this site called Treasured Locks or something. And it was a moisturizing spray. I got that and some type of custard I got too, right? So because I wanted to keep my hair short.
Yeah.
And I like the curly look. So I got that and it worked all day. Because other products, it will work for a little bit. Like, it'll work for a couple hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. By the end of the workday, I look a hot mess. I mean, I look terrible. By the end of the day, look like I got in a fight with somebody. Like, you okay?
You just got off of work.
Right. Like, a hard day. You know? No, I'm sitting at a desk every single day. And I'm like, you been in a fight? No, I'm good.
No, I'm good.
You been laying bricks or something? Right. You been building bridges? So that worked for me. Her products worked for me. So since that worked, I like bought the whole line.
Gotcha.
So I started using her products first.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So so what made you say, you know what? I'm not finna be buying all these products no more. I'm gonna make my own.
That happened in 2009. So about 2 years later, still, like, I was considered what you would say a product junkie.
Right.
I had so many products.
Just in the mirror.
Right. So many products. And it wasn't even a lot of natural hair care companies back in the day. Like, that long ago, it wasn't a lot.
Like, but 5 years ago. Like.
Right. It wasn't a lot. You know, you could name them, all of them. And that actually sold in stores like Kinky Curly, Jane Carter, Miss Jessie's. I had all of them. So I found that, and Carol's Daughter was a product that worked for me too. But I found that it would work for the stage that I was at that time, my newly natural stage. You know, when I needed all of the moisture, I needed this thing because I didn't have my real hair.
Right.
So they call it, once you do a big chop or whatever, they call that scab hair.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They call that scab hair, yes.
Why?
Because that texture is going to be totally different 6 months from now. Okay,
because of the length of it.
Right.
And you then, can't catch the curl.
And it's just like the relaxer seeped down into the scalp and that hair that's growing out is still not truly relaxer free. And it grows out a certain way. So my texture back then when I big chopped different from when I big chop now. It's a totally different texture.
That makes sense. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So they call it scab hair. They have a name for everything.
Right.
So, but my hair wasn't responding the same. It started not responding to anything. And I'm like, what is going on here? Like, this product used to work for me and now it's not working for me anymore. Then I started doing research on ingredients because I was big on what I put in my body after watching Oprah and Dr. Oz scan the mess out of me.
Okay.
So I started watching, looking at the ingredients and what was truly in the products and researching each ingredient.
Like in depth, like I'll take a couple hours on researching just this one product.
Absolutely.
Or this one chemical.
Right.
Got you.
Yeah. And finding out what these names mean.
Right.
You know, like.
And that's the most difficult part, to be honest. Yeah. Like, with
what
you.
Is BTMS? What is Bethyl Dizolum?
DTA? What is it? Paraffin? DTA?
Right.
What? Is this
what
the
is
police?
All of this stuff?
That
yeah.
Pull up on
what,
me
what is
when
this?
I use this? What's going on? So.
Yeah, so after doing research, I found like certain things would never absorb into, certain oils would never absorb into the hair shaft, like corn oil, because the molecules, it's just too big. So it would never absorb. And then most of the products, corn oil, soybean oil, they had it in there. And I'm like, well, thank God. No wonder it sits on my scalp. Mm. No wonder by lunchtime I have a daggone grease, whole well, line of grease. You all right? You hurt? You need us to turn it down? Like, I'm good. I go in the bathroom, I'm like, no wonder they think I'm hot. I got a whole grease. Just grease.
You're so silly.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, no wonder they keep fanning me. You okay, girl? You need some water? You know it's 70 degrees in here, right? You having hot flashes this early in life?
Like, it's too early for this,
bro. Right.
What's going on at the house? You okay?
You okay? Do we need to call somebody? Yeah, so I didn't. So when I started doing research on ingredients, I'm like, And then most of the products didn't have all of the good stuff.
Right.
You know, they would have bits and pieces, but they didn't have all of the good stuff. So I was like, yeah, I think I can create something for our hair. I think I can create something affordable.
Right.
I was paying $25 for a 4 ounce butter. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'm
like, that junk is expensive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I was like, I think I can create something. So it was basically out of necessity. So I could have good ingredients that will actually absorb into my hair shaft and will work.
Right. Awesome. So you got into the lab, you got on your white coat, got on your gloves, and so not trying to get your secret.
Oh, you're good.
What's the process that you go through in creating these products?
So what I did is found out. First, I did this research.
Okay.
I did a lot of research. I read a lot. And Curly Nikki had this blog. And it was very, very popular. And there's a whole bunch of black women on there going natural. So I went into Curly Nikki's blog as Coils by Nature. Instead of my avatar, I had my logo, right? I was like, And Coils by Nature is my name. Went in there kicking in the door. Hey, y'all want some products to try? What's your hair issues? So Curly Nikki quickly, you know, pulled me back. Like, look here, sis. This is not what we're doing in here. Like, this is something, a form for women to express how they feel. And we're not in here selling. So if you want to be in here, you have to come in here as who you are. So that taught me something.
Okay.
To not try to sell to people all the time, but get to know them first.
Yeah, get to be a person. Yeah, right. Everybody's a person.
Right. And we all have hair issues. So I went in there as me. I met a beautiful community of women in there, and they actually helped me develop my entire product line back in 2009. Yeah. So first I had a leave-in conditioner and a butter because those are the things that I was like, that's what I wanted. But after talking to them, they needed other stuff. Mm-hmm. They needed a conditioner. They needed a shampoo. They needed a gel.
Yeah.
So they provided me with everything that I needed to create this product line. So I did research, so-called research and development.
And that was that team that you were talking about.
Absolutely. And I went in there honest and open with them. And they were very receptive. And some of those ladies, about almost like 60% of them are still my customers till this day.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Did you get any flack back? Like, you've carried this pretty far.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get any bad feedback or negative?
Mm-hmm.
So what would be like the top three, or what would be like the most headache moments in the industry that you've been had to deal with over time?
One when a product doesn't work for somebody.
Right.
When it doesn't work and they're expecting something else. That is the biggest issue, because it's not always the product. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like when I get on live streaming or anything and people are asking me, you know, what do I do for dry hair? The first thing I ask them is, how much water do you drink?
Good point.
Right?
Good point.
Or what type of medication are you on? Because a lot of people that are experiencing dry hair, they're dehydrated. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a large number of, you know, percentage of the people in the United States just don't drink enough water. So if you don't drink enough water, your hair is going to be dry. And you can put a gallon of my product or any other product on your hair. And if you're still not, you know, starting off from the inside.
Right.
You have to start drinking.
You're just going to have layers of oil on your forehead.
You know, looking greasy and think people think you have hot flashes, right? So, but what the complaints taught me is to educate more.
Okay.
You know, so to ask more questions. So when people, your product didn't work for me, you know, my hair was still dry, blah, blah, blah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the engineering side of it comes in, like, well, let me educate you on this. So let me educate you on how to use the product, because a lot of people don't read the instructions either. So they won't use it properly. They won't follow the instructions on the product. So that was one of the biggest things. Another thing is when new companies started to pop up,
mm-hmm.
making their products, they say that imitation is the best form of flattery, but it wasn't. You know, it really isn't. It is. Everybody, you have your own lane.
Yeah.
You know, and you can grow your business, and it's a lot of money out there to be made, because black women spend a lot of money on hair care products. So you don't have to copy what I'm doing in order for you to get where I am. Because I will be like 2 years, 3 years in, and it'll people be coming in into the business, and they're trying to do exactly what I do. No, right. Follow your own path. You can still, like, we cool. There's no competition here. We're all here to make a great product for women and to provide them with great customer service, but you don't have to do exactly what I do and try to mimic me. So that was a big headache of mine, people trying to copy.
You go to a lot of, like, vendors, retail. I mean, you go to a lot of shows.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time you actually physically went to a show by yourself to promote? Or is that, do you still do that?
I stepped back from doing vending shows just because the space has changed so much.
Okay.
Like, it is the natural hair community. Being in since 2009,
right,
and my first vending show in Baltimore, the Baltimore Natural Hair Expo in 2010, it was just a big shift. You know, it was people creating and selling, and it was only us.
Right.
Right? It was only us. And then we created these products because there was nothing like it on the market. There was nobody creating, no big brands creating products for Black women with curly, kinky, textured hair. Right. So we created this product. We fulfilled this need. Now, when the big companies come and they do, they got to work in quarters. Mm-hmm. You know, they can't just say, I'm going to make a new product right here. And they got to go to research and development and go through what is this going to do and that and that.
Okay.
So from 2010, about 2012, it was sweet. It was gravy. Like, it was so. Because
they were going through.
They haven't even tapped us.
Okay.
Yeah, right? So now 2012 hit. That's when the big shift happened. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Everyone noticed the money coming in.
And that's when they started creating these brands for women with natural hair. That's when they started creating these natural hair brands and putting shea butter and coconut oil in their products.
Because you said earlier, you said you weren't even calling it natural. So I'm assuming right. The group, when you first started, your group was just like, look, we just doing it.
Right.
So do you feel like when they caught on, that was when the word natural became normal?
It became normal before then.
Okay.
But that's when they were like, oh, we see.
We can sell this.
We see the drop in relaxers. We see, you know, it started to affect their sales.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's thousands of women are going natural.
Right.
Right? Oh. And then they want
to
use.
They had to figure out where the money was going.
Absolutely. And then they had to figure out what are they doing? Who are these companies?
Right.
Who are these people?
Who are these people? Right.
Who are the mixed chicks of the world? Who are the Miss Jessie's, Jane Carter's? What in the world right. are they
this
doing?
This isn't L'Oreal. This isn't Pantene. Who are these people?
Right.
Gotcha.
So, and then they came in. And then that's when you have the Cream of Natures. That's when you have the Cantus of the world. And you have the ORS. You have these brands that are, they were never focused on curly, kinky, curly textured hair, but now they are. You even have Palmer's. Like, yeah. Palmer's is cocoa butter. Like, what? You know what I'm saying? Like, Palmer's got hair products yeah. now? Like,
that's, yeah.
That it's just like, we created this because they didn't.
Right.
They didn't see a need or a necessity for it. So now they have bigger budgets in Coils by Nature right. budgets, you know, because right. they're either owned by Unilever, Procter & Gamble, or L'Oreal. You know, if you look, these three companies, they own
most or majority.
Absolutely.
Wow. I didn't know Procter & Gamble was even in the game like
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely.
With hair products?
Absolutely. Look and see who they own. Yes, they own. Mm. They got their subsidiary companies, you'll see.
Okay.
Unilever, that's Dove.
Yeah.
Dove stepped into the natural hair market. I was like, come on.
Man. Yeah, yeah. Y'all
like, yeah, come on. Now, like, we can't have nothing. Like, we created this out of necessity. You know, entrepreneurs, true entrepreneurs, we created this because this is what we needed. And then that's when a big shift happened.
Mm-hmm. So, in 2013.
In 2012.
12, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I had a show in D.C. called Natural is Not a Fad. And I was flying in bloggers. Now they're called influencers. And I was, you know, paying them a couple dollars here and there, taking care of them. Now, when you try to contact a blogger, because of these big corporate budgets, they want the corporate budgets. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
And I'm not finna pay no blogger $5,000
no.
to do no twist out and to I'm good. You know what I'm saying? I'll do my own damn twist right. out. You know what I'm saying? I will twist $5,000 worth of twists. You know what I'm saying?
Untwist them again for you.
You know, so they changed the game as far as that.
Yeah.
And now we don't have that sense of loyalty because
right.
we created this. The Talia Wajid's of the world, the Jane Carter's of the world, the mixed chicks of the world. We created this. You know, even Shea Moisture. I remember when Shea Moisture was at the World Natural Hair Show and they had a tent. You know, they were in a tent like Richie
wow.
Lou was selling out of boxes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I'm so proud of how they are now
yeah.
worth $700 million. And they're still majority Black owned, but it's just like we created this out of necessity.
Yeah.
And then now these
y'all coming in, saturating the game, not trying to help, just trying to get a dollar.
Absolutely. And they control like 70% of the market. Mm. They still control it. But then 100% of the people that are buying are us.
Right.
You know, that makes no sense. And we're receiving a small percentage of this billion-dollar industry. We're only receiving a small percentage of that. So I made like a shift on what shows I would vend at and, you know, what events I attend.
How do you, this is a community question. And I wanted to ask you a little bit later, but I don't want to forget this. And this is overall, this includes the hair community.
Mm-hmm.
This is really just us
mm-hmm.
in total. How do you feel like, or what are the changes, or what do you think we need to do as a community to unite more, to acknowledge that we need to buy from each other more? Because I know you do it.
Yeah.
I was listening to your Periscope last Friday, and you was like, I do it on purpose.
I do it on purpose. Absolutely.
This is from Blase Blah. My lips is from Blase Blah. This makeup is from y'all. I do it on purpose. How do you get the people in our generation? Let's start with our generation. How can we get the people from our generation to support the black businesses more?
I think the first step is for the black businesses to be known.
Okay.
A lot of people don't know that they're black-owned businesses that create everything that we need.
Yeah.
So bringing them to the forefront, like having websites like WeBuyBlack.com.
Yes.
And having, you know, official Black Wall Street and even Black Bizco, when we bring businesses on every single Friday, I think making it known is the first step, okay. right?
Mm-hmm.
And then educating people on how important it is to support Black-owned businesses, and not just because they're Black, okay? Let that be that in the equation. That's a given. But support them because they have that product or that service that is for you. Because we essentially create stuff out of necessity.
Yes.
Because we don't have it. It's not available to it.
Been.
Right. And that's why, since we're creating it, we're going to give you the absolute best of what we have.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think the first part is just getting these black-owned businesses out there. And We Buy Black is doing an amazing job of taking the people.
I'm trying to run into him. You get an opportunity. Yeah.
I got you. All right. Yeah. He is such a dynamic
he's
human.
Awesome.
And he's so young. He's only 24 years old. But what he's doing is just putting to the forefront the beautiful things that we create and that we offer. And then for the consumer, I need for the consumer to intentionally mm-hmm. buy, mm-hmm. like make a conscious effort to say, I'm going to look for a company that is black that
there
makes this.
Right.
You know, we have to be, and these are the words from Adia Rogers, one third of the members of Black Bizscope. You have to be strategic and intentional about where you spend your money. And that's why everything that I do is on purpose.
Right.
Everything, like everything that I have on is black. My hair, I do that on purpose so people can see like, oh, we really do create everything that we need. And if we don't create it, let's do that. Let's make that happen.
Exactly. Thank you for that. Tell me about the first time you met Carol's daughter, the owner from Carol's daughter.
So I met Lisa Price at an event here in Atlanta. I met her at an event here in Atlanta. It was Taryn Guy had an event here. And Lisa Price was one of the speakers. And I started creating products. It was a thought because I had seen her so many years ago on Oprah.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, I seen her on Oprah when she came on Oprah and how she started in her kitchen. Right?
Right.
That always stayed in the back of my mind.
Okay.
Creating products was not something that I wanted to do. Right? I thought I was going to be a personal trainer. I was going to own several gyms. And, you know, I was calling it Gyms in the Hood because I wanted gyms. You know what I'm saying? In the urban areas.
That's what's up.
You know, that's, and I, that's going to still happen at one point in time in my life. But I really wanted to have a gym. That's right. What I wanted to be in spandex all day. I wanted to help women, black women, get healthy, cook
feel
for
better,
their family.
Look better.
Yeah. You know what I'm, and I wanted to have all of this stuff, right? That's what I wanted to do. But in the back of my mind, I never seen a black woman do that.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I didn't see it.
Right.
When creating my own products came into my mind, I saw somebody who's done that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's very important for us to honor the people who have done it before us. Even though Madam C.J. Walker did it.
Right.
But she wasn't alive. You know, I saw somebody
right.
like
physically seen.
Yeah, like, wow. Like she did this. She created this amazing company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Carol's Daughter. So that was always in the back of my mind. So when this opportunity came, like, maybe I should create my own product line. I thought about her. So she was always like my Oprah. She was always like a mentor in my head.
Gotcha.
Right?
Yeah.
And then I never, she was like greeting people, and her session was over, and I was just waiting there patiently, like, yes, right? And then she came to me and I said, hello, Miss Lisa. It is such an honor to meet you. I love you so much. My name is Pam. I have a company. She said, I know who you are.
Wow.
Oh, I knew about that.
I
was like,
hola.
In my head, I was like, but I had to like,
right.
Dip you.
Really?
Well, thank you. You know, my accent came out. My British accent. A terrible one. Like, hello.
Well, really? Do you?
Cheerio.
Puppets and tea later.
Puppets and tea. So when she knew, and then I had a conversation with her, and then, you know, we talked, and she said, I see what you're doing. I love what you're doing. You know, keep doing it. Yeah. Right? Keep doing it. And then I saw her at another event like 2 months later here in Atlanta. She was speaking. And I was like, hey, she was like, I'm just seeing you all the time. And I was like, yes, gave her a hug. And she gave me some advice. She said, she told me to, it's okay to be happy where I am.
Hmm. Okay.
She said, it's okay to be happy where you are. And then she told me that there will be a time that I have to step away in order for my business to grow.
Mm.
Yeah. So those two things stuck with me.
And why do you feel like those stuck with you so much?
Because in this industry, like I said, when the big boys came to play,
right.
You know, I was like, man, maybe I should be doing that. And maybe my booth should look like this. And maybe I need to hire this blogger. And maybe I need to do that. You know what I'm saying? And I wanted to step outside of why I created Coils by Nature, trying to so-called compete
please, right.
with these, you know, the big boys. So I was like, you know what? I understand what she's saying when she said that.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. What was, when you initially went natural,
mm-hmm.
There's a lot of women who are in between trying to do the natural thing and giving up the perm. Like, there's plenty of them out here.
Absolutely.
What was the biggest negative that you got while your hair was natural initially
mm-hmm.
that was like, that bothered you the most?
The funny thing is, it mostly came from black people.
Really?
Yeah.
My wife says the same thing. She says, all the white men, they always compliment
Absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely. I worked in corporate America, you know? So, well, I worked for the federal government, but it was, white people thought it was cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, black people was like, girl, when you gonna comb your hair?
Really?
What you gonna do with that? You gonna lock it? You know, everybody, you gonna lock it? No, I'm just gonna grow
just
my hair.
Like this. Yeah.
Right. Oh, you need to do something with it. You should comb it every now and again. I'm like, I did comb it this morning.
What is you talking about?
I don't know.
This is a style.
This is how it's supposed to look.
And you talking to your own people trying to.
Yeah. So it was that. That was the most heartbreaking. The white people embraced it.
Yeah.
you know? And black people, I never forget my job interview for my last job. I had micro braids in my hair when I went.
Okay.
So I had my hair in a little bun and got the job. And with the government, the coming on process about 2 or 3 weeks, yeah. Right? Got to work and I had a Afro puff. I had a puff.
So you took your micros out.
Slick it. Yeah, I had to slick back in a cute little puff. I thought I was cute. Manager came into my office and she said,
black woman?
Absolutely. She get her hair done every 2 weeks. She get her hair done. She was like, what's going on with your hair? I was like, oh,
like that's how she started it off.
Yeah. She was shocked.
Wow.
Yeah. And my puff was a cute curly puff.
Right.
No matter if what the puff was, but you know, it's like I said, I'm looking at him like, I need to.
Like, let me look in the mirror. Let me make sure my puff's straight.
Girl, I was like,
my edge is all right. Hold on.
She was like, are you going to wear your hair like that? And I said, every day.
Right.
Yes. And she was like, oh, okay. So that was that.
Wow.
Yeah. And the next day, I made it bigger. I was like, ooh, I'm going to make it bigger. I'm going to make her mad.
You're not going to not make me love myself or right. My hair because you get your hair done every 2 weeks.
And I was just really amazed by her reaction.
I would have been hella pissed off by that.
Yeah.
I don't think. Wow. Yeah.
But the white people, they were like, wow, your hair is awesome. Your hair is so cool.
Do you think it's a fear of appearance? Do you think it's a fear of acceptance?
I think it's a combination of both. So even when I went home, you know, my family was like, oh my gosh.
Okay.
That gal ain't going to DC and lost her mind, ain't it? What's wrong with her? Come and cut all her hair off and then to wear it like that? I'm telling you, my people were like, what is going on here? Are you okay? But I think it's a combination of both because our people, we've been through so much, mm-hmm. right? And a lot of things are done out of fear and love at the same time.
Okay.
We had to act right. We had to present ourselves in a certain way. We had to not make eye contact, mm-hmm. especially in the South, the Jim Crow South.
Yes.
You know, so a lot of things, it was conditioned so we could survive, so we could live.
Right.
Right? That's why our parents, and when you become a parent, you try to protect your children from things because you want them to survive and you want them to live. So I think a lot of things is fear and love at the same time.
Okay.
So they don't want you to be hurt. They don't want you to lose your job. They don't want people to look at you a certain way.
Right.
Like you're already a young black woman in this computer industry and now you're gonna come with a mohawk. What you doing?
With
like
purple hair.
What is you doing? You know, they already looking at you.
Right.
So I don't think especially that manager, I don't think it was out of hate.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was out of like genuine concern.
Right. Like girl, you're risking your job.
Right.
For doing this to your hair.
Because they've a fear of not being accepted.
Okay.
But I feel if you accept yourself,
yes.
You exude such energy and it comes out, then people around you are going to accept you too.
Corporate or not.
Absolutely.
I like that. I like the way that sounds. How were you able to expand your products to go international? I noticed that you have like a couple of different retailers international.
I went to it was 2011 was a great year.
Okay.
That was like I met some of the best people in this industry in 2011, and now they're doing like phenomenal things. So I went to this show in Toronto Natural Hair Expo in 2011. And that's where I met Lovey in Afrobellum.
Oh.
And with Toronto, it's an international market, and they have people, like they have family members that are in the UK. They have family members all over the world. So from being at that international expo, it like spread the word about Coils by Nature. Like I had people in Paris saying, oh yeah, my cousin was at this show in Toronto. You know, they were emailing me and I was like, word?
What? And you're like, where?
You know what I'm saying? Even though I travel the world, it's still so amazing to see where Black people are.
Yeah.
And the amount of Black people. Like, we are truly everywhere. And to see so many beautiful Black people in Toronto, Canada. Like, it's a beautiful city.
Yeah, I heard Canada is amazing. I haven't been to Canada yet.
It is. And then I started doing research because that's what I do.
I see.
That's what I do. So I started doing research and I didn't know when Harriet Tubman freed the slaves, mm-hmm. she freed them to Canada. Most of them went to Canada because they put in a law that, I forgot what it was called, it was some slave act that they put in that the property, the owner, the slave owner could mm-hmm. come up north and snatch you up and bring you back.
Oh.
So she stopped bringing people to just to the north.
Yeah.
She brought people to Canada. So that's how like a lot of Black people got to Toronto. And I didn't even know that until I started doing research. And I was like, oh, she meant all the way north.
Right. All the way north. All the way north. Right before the ice.
Yeah, she took them to Canada because I forgot the name of the slave act they put in, but the people from the South could come up and get them, even though they were in the free portion.
That's why Drake's so light skinned. I always wondered that. Okay.
You know, okay. Drake Daddy from Tennessee.
He had to go to, look, yeah. Quit playing. You know he had to go up to Canada to get some of that. But so what's your favorite place to travel? What's like that place that you've been to, whether it's once or whether it's more than once, where you're like, oh my gosh, I got to come back again. This is like the place, business and personal.
So, I have not been to the continent of Africa yet, but okay. I will be going there soon. But my favorite place right now is New Orleans.
Really?
Yeah.
You went to the Essence Fest?
I went to New Orleans, not this year, okay. but I've been to New Orleans like 5 times.
Really?
The reason why I love New Orleans so much is because it reminds me so much of home.
Because like, of the culture that's the still culture there.
It's such a beautiful city.
Yeah.
The food is really, really good. I ain't better than Low Country, but it's really, really good food. And the people are so beautiful in New Orleans. So I really, really love that city. I love that city.
I'm definitely going to have to visit. I just came from Harlem, mm-hmm. probably like not even a month back. And the vibe there was like a bigger West End mm-hmm. for me personally, because it had like vegan restaurants on this block, go walk down a couple other blocks, you know, and it really gave me that home, we here, mm-hmm. we all right, we gonna be all right feel, you know what I'm saying? So to your point, I think New Orleans needs to be one of the next places I go, because
you have to go
because of the history.
It's a lot of history there, and it is, it's just a beautiful, you feel something when you go to New
right.
Orleans.
Yeah.
You feel a certain vibe when you go there. And I've been to I've been to Paris a couple of times. And my first time going to Paris, I was a tourist.
Okay.
I was living in Europe when I was in the army.
Oh,
my
okay.
second time going to Paris, I went for business, for Coils by Nature. And they have a natural hair academy that has a show every year. Beautiful people run that show, right? And that was when I went to Paris that time, that was the first time me going to the hood.
Okay.
All right? Going to the hood. I went to all the touristy
in Paris.
Spots.
Yeah,
right. I went to the hood. Like, it was like liquor store, barbershop, lightning creams place, liquor store, barbershop. Hey, speaking in bonsoir. Like, I don't speak that. Oh, we speak English. You want some? Trying to sell me
like,
CDs.
Oh, for real.
Right,
yeah.
Like, yeah.
You on the block.
Yeah, you. I'm telling you, like, it was, but it was being in the hood.
Right,
like,
in Paris.
I like to be around my people.
Yeah.
I feel most comfortable around my people. I don't care where you're from.
Right.
I feel the most comfortable around my people. And I felt the most comfortable in that hood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I felt comfortable there. I felt like, you know, no, I don't speak French, but I do speak.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
We're going to be able to understand each other.
Absolutely. You know, and that being in the hood of Paris, I don't care for the other
the
parts.
The touristy.
Right, because they don't treat black people good.
I heard.
They don't treat us well. Once they find out you're American, then they treat you well.
Oh, you're American?
Oh. Yeah. When they find out that you're American, then they treat you well. But when I went, you know, it was just different because then you have to be somebody. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Because I flew, and it was because of a hookup, but I flew first class, and I was the only black person in first class.
Mm.
And they were like, excuse me, I think your seat is...
I heard about that. You know what?
In the back? I was like, oh, no.
No.
It's not.
No, here you go there.
It's here's... Yep, I'm right here.
So did they ask you if you were somebody famous? Did they try to check your pockets?
They tried. They were like, oh, what do you do? I was like, I'm just very wealthy and happy. That's it. That's all I said to them. Like, I'm very wealthy and happy.
Get out of my
damn
house.
So I ordered everything on the menu. I was like, I want all of this. I want all of this. I want her to bring it to me. No, not you. Not the chick who tried to check me. I want her.
I want to make sure she come back.
Absolutely. Come in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I need you to get my towel for me because it's cold. I need it to be warmed up, please.
I need another pillow.
Absolutely.
Please.
Next time you learn your lesson asking a black person, you ain't check nobody else's seats on here. You going to check me.
You so silly.
You know what I'm saying? So.
No, but I feel you. I heard that since we don't travel a lot, you know, when others see us in first class or in Hawaii. Hey, what do you do?
Yeah.
So how much do you make?
Right.
You know, so that's good that I'm glad to hear that you noticed it.
Oh,
you
heck
know what
yeah.
I'm saying? Like
everywhere. Like if it's not the Bahamas or Jamaica, right. like a lot of black people go.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like they see you and they're like, when I went to Spain, they thought I played for the WNBA.
Wow.
So I didn't tell them that I didn't.
Right.
Oh, I do? Okay.
Okay.
Sign this autograph? Sure. Yeah. Uh-huh. Hey, yeah, I played a little bit in my day. Yes. Betty Creek. Yes. Because South Carolina. Mm-hmm. That's
that
my
hilarious.
Team. I'm not going to tell you any different if you think I'm a basketball
right.
player because I'm 6 feet tall. All right. Let's do it then.
Let's play it. Let's play the game. Okay. All right, let's tell me something about your Business Black Scope endeavor. This is actually one of my favorite things about you. It's personally one of my favorite things about you is because you have a platform and you still are like, look, I want to give other people an opportunity to shine. Not even shine, just give them a voice. And I think that's extremely important. I don't watch television. I'm
mm-hmm.
not a big television watcher at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I do watch YouTube.
Right.
Like, I get all my information from YouTube.
Right.
You know, so for you to give that platform, you know, and for me to, that's my television. When you show me new people and when you show me new businesses, you know, I take hella notes on that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like I do it on purpose, too.
I'm
like,
glad you
that's
do.
My thing. Like.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like you know, I didn't say anything to you when you were at the Malcolm X celebration. I think you were there with your son.
Oh, and my husband, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it was so many people up there with so many moves. I bought this from there.
Oh.
It was a painting company that was like on the side, but this was the only piece that they had.
They had all of the paintings?
Yeah. They had like the $10 copy ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had the bigger ones in the back. And then they had just this one piece.
Oh, wow.
So they was like, well, we got t-shirts, but we got this one piece. This is real unique. He didn't even want me to bring this out. I
mm-hmm.
was just like, all right, I get a t-shirt, I get one of these. Let me go ahead and get this.
Right,
you know,
right.
And I wear it on purpose.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So go ahead and explain why you, you know, did the Black Biz Scope and where you see it going.
So Black Bedscope, like anything, it was created out of necessity.
Okay.
It's a community-based initiative where we give Black-owned companies 15 minutes to give us themselves, what they do, what service or what product they offer. And what's special about the Black Bedscope community, we're only on 3 hours on a Friday.
Right.
So we just ask for people in our community not to scope during those 3 hours, and let's pay these businesses, give them all of our love and attention. And we ask people that we tell them that there are three ways that they can support a business. You can support just by being there,
right,
just by showing up and showing love. And you can support by sharing, because maybe it's not for you, but it could be for somebody in your community, in your network. And then we ask them to that they can just buy from them financially, that actually purchase a product or their service. And this has been one of the most rewarding pieces, like businesses that I've created, Black Bedscope, because we've touched over 1,000 Black-owned businesses.
Right.
And to see some of our businesses that we've touched and we know and we discovered, it's amazing. Like Gabby Bowes, 9-year-old from South Carolina, who created her own hair bows that would not, double latched hair bows that won't fall out. So she created something, and every Black girl knows when you get your hair twisted and you put the little bow rat on the end, you go to school and you come home without that bow rat.
Half of them in there.
Your mama looking at you like,
what was you doing all day?
But they just come out. So she solved that problem. Mm-hmm. You know, 9 years old, she came on Black Bedscope. And then we have another, we call them our little sisters. We have a, because we've been doing this for 2 years now.
Yeah, it was your 2-year anniversary last Sunday?
Week. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So July 10th. So, and then Xandra Beauty, she was only 14 years old and created her own company. And it's Xandra Beauty, and she has lip balms, and she does stuff for other entrepreneurs, young female entrepreneurs, and they've been on national television.
Okay.
These beautiful ladies that have been on Black Bedscope, and they're still a part of the Black Bedscope family. So seeing all these amazing companies that are really utilizing Periscope, we want to show Black businesses, like, put yourself out there. Let people know who you are. Get people to know, like, and trust you. And they will buy from you. They will support you. So this has been, like, it's been an amazing journey with Black Bedscope. And Christine and Adia, they make it all worth it, too.
So with the social media being as big as it is now, is there any difficulties in marketing and promoting, since we have talked about the Black Biz, outside of that, you know, what are the challenges on promoting and marketing your products? Or is there any?
For Coils by Nature, no.
Okay.
For Black-owned businesses, yes. Because they don't want to.
Right.
They don't want, like, Facebook changed their algorithm. So you have to pay to be seen. Right? You have to pay to be seen. It's just like that. That's what they do. But with Periscope, it's still so special that no algorithms have been changed.
Right.
So you can still go live, tell people what you're doing, tell people about yourself, and you can still sell on Periscope without doing it. But marketing as a whole for Black-owned companies, I think that's like between customer service and marketing, those are the two biggest things.
Biggest challenges. Yeah.
Yeah. And then once we conquer those challenges, we'll be great because we deliver a great product.
Yeah.
You know.
That is awesome. So if you can do it all over again, if would you create your, out of necessity, if you could do it all over again, would you?
Absolutely.
From everything. A to B, A to Z.
Everything. I really believe that everything that I go through, everything that I've been through, is so I can tell my story and help somebody else and let them know that I've been through this and you can get through it too. Because the entrepreneurial journey is a journey. It's a true journey. It's very, very hard work. You have to be persistent. You have to be dedicated to it. And you have to put in that work. It's not going to come easy. And despite what you see on, you know, Instagram, I just saw, I think it was a tweet from my leak, Teal, and she was talking about how people think, you know, becoming an entrepreneur is like what you see on Instagram.
Oh.
Right? And then once you don't get what you see on Instagram, you tend to quit because they think it's easy because there's so many entrepreneurs popping up. And that's a beautiful thing.
Right.
But with social media, we can see those entrepreneurs because people create businesses every single day. Yes. And they have for many, many years without social media.
Yeah.
You know, and now we can see people can put out there, oh, I got this new thing going. I got this new business. But we don't get to see what it took for you to get there.
Right.
So I like to tell people my story, my journey, and I wouldn't change anything about it. Because everything was a lesson.
Right.
Every single thing I learned from being an entrepreneur.
So as a woman in this game, as a woman entrepreneur that's struggling to get into the industry, what advice would you give them?
To know why you're here.
Mm.
To know your why. Your why is so important. Knowing the reason that you're here and that you want to get into this industry is very important. If you want to get into this industry because you think you can make $1 million, then you will fail.
Right. That's not why you're getting it.
Money should never be your why. You should have a real why behind why you want to get into this and then never lose track of that why.
Mm.
It was a comedian on Tyler Perry's, I think, one of his shows. And she said that, you know, a lot of people sell their souls because they lost track of their why.
Right.
Why did they come into this business? When you lose track of your why, you get desperate and you'll do whatever it takes to make it, you know. But if you keep your why, because my why is creating a legacy for my family.
Yes.
My why is to give back to my hometown of Beaufort, South Carolina. And my why is to show people that you can do whatever you set your mind to and you can be very successful at it. So I'm not going to lose track of that. And no amount of money is going to make me lose track of my why.
Who are the people that most influenced you over the years? Who's your most influential?
Most influential? Lisa Bryce is definitely one of them. She's one of them. Has been a big influence on how I navigate myself in this business. My best friend, Sharnia, she keeps me grounded because we started in the United States Army together. So, she keeps me grounded. And
she's the one that give you that check.
She does. She really does. I have surrounded myself with some real people.
Got you.
You know, they're real. Mm-hmm. They will tell me, girl, you need to sit down somewhere. I don't know what you think you're doing, but you play too much. And I love that I surround myself with those type of people. But they will always push me to want me to do better. So I love that about the people that I've surrounded myself with. And my grandmother, she's not here anymore, but she is one of the most influential people in my life because she showed me that I could do something outside of Beaufort, South Carolina. She was a head nurse at a hospital in Miami, Florida, and she had very nice things, and she did exactly what she wanted to do with her life. And I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very important for our people to see. Because when we see it,
you know it can happen.
You know it can happen. Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
None.
Yeah. I that was the Lisa Price. When you seen Lisa Price on Oprah, I think that is extremely important. Especially for the young girls.
Mm-hmm.
Because social media these days, all you see is, all you see is just skin everywhere.
Yeah.
Just straight skin. And you and people don't know their worth anymore. You said in the previous podcast, it was last Friday, the one I was watching, you was like, you were listening to one lady and she was explaining how to word things when you're complimenting young girls.
Mm-hmm. That was Zandra. That's Zandra Beauty. That's her mother, Tamara.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to be careful on how you compliment these young girls because, you know, instead of saying, oh, you have a nice body, you know, tell them you're beautiful. You know, just we have to be real careful of the language that we use with these young girls because of what they see. Our children are like these young girls. They live in a totally different era. We didn't have social media. You know, if we did, I don't know if I would be making products right now. I would be on somebody's job real quiet. Like, I done did some stuff in my life.
And they got
video. Right, you know what I'm saying? Right. We didn't have that. We were able to actually live our lives offline without having Snapchat or everybody just taking pictures of our meals and everybody knowing where we are. And that stuff is cool. There's nothing wrong with that. But for these young girls, just scrolling through Instagram sometimes, the Explorer page, you know, you see, it's like you don't have to do all of that.
What's the point?
Yeah.
You know, like, you're beautiful without showing anything.
Right.
Like, you can, this is the funny part with me. I noticed that a lot of women could just show their faces and they can still get 2,000 likes.
Yeah.
You know. But then they show their body, and my personal opinion, because I'm not a female, so I can't really make that decision for a female. But it's like, do you really have to do that? Is that necessary for the attention that you're looking for?
Right.
So that's an interesting thing to me. Where do you see yourself in the next 10 years?
I see myself as being very, very wealthy.
Speaking into existence.
Heck yeah. 10 years, I will be, I'm 38, so I'll be almost 50. Yeah, so I see myself very wealthy. In that time, I'm going to be grooming my son. We're grooming our son to, because he loves the business.
He
travels with us. He's 9.
And he loves the course by nature. Everything.
Okay. Everything. Yeah. He walks through our factory now. He put his hands in his pocket and sometimes just say, you know what? I'm going to change a few things when I run in. So I'm like, boy, if you don't sit down somewhere.
Wait a minute.
Right. You better wait. Yeah.
Boy, so if you don't sit down.
I want him. We're going to send him to the best school so he can come back and continue to run this business. But I see us as a household name.
Mm-hmm.
I see 2 manufacturing plants. I want one here in Atlanta and one in my hometown of Beaufort, South Carolina. And I just see me creating probably another 2 or 3 businesses. But I know that my passion in life is to help our people.
Yes.
In whatever aspect I can. And I want to continue to do that. So if it's speaking, I want to continue to do that. If it's holding seminars, I want to continue to do that. But I see Cause by Nature being a household name.
Okay, go ahead and give us a quick rundown on a couple of your products, maybe some of your new products or some of your best-selling products.
So our men's line is doing extremely well. We created a male grooming line about a year and a couple months ago, like a year and almost 6 months.
Okay.
We created the men's grooming line, and it's especially for beards. That is doing extremely well. And I'm so proud of that because we had a men's line before, but we didn't market it right. And then the world wasn't ready.
Right. Yeah.
So now the world is ready with the men with beards and they want to take care of it. So we've actually grown our male customer from like 2% to 28%.
Wow. Yeah. In a year and a half?
Yes.
That's phenomenal.
Yes, they are. That we created something for them, they needed it. So we gave it to them. And
this is how it works. Usually if my wife gets it and she sees something, she usually just gets another one for me.
Absolutely.
So that's usually how it goes.
And that's how it was, because the majority of our customers that were buying our men's product were women.
Mm-hmm.
But the men were like, oh no, I need this for myself. So I'm like, wow, this is awesome. So that, and then we have our staples, our leave-in conditioner. Mm-hmm. It's a 3-in-1 product. It's absolutely phenomenal. It creates a lot of slip, has vitamins and minerals in there with the mango powder and the slippery elm bark in there. And our nourishing hair and body butter. People love it because you can use it on your hair and your body.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So that, and our foaming cleanser, that is something that Periscope helped me increase the sales.
Okay.
Because people didn't know how to use it. So I got on Periscope every single Friday, and I would show people how to shampoo their hair with my cleanser.
What?
Yeah, so.
Yeah, you cold with it. so what's your favorite quote, or what's your favorite Bible scripture that you've been holding on to since whenever?
My favorite, it's an African proverb, and it says, you can go fast alone or far together.
Ooh.
And that's an African proverb, and that is my favorite. Because I want everybody to come with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really have a deep love for my people. I love my Black people, and I want us to be so awesome and so amazing. And I would rather go far with them than to go fast by myself.
Yeah. I like that. What's the best way for everyone to contact you? Go ahead and give me all of your tags and everything.
Well, you can find us everywhere at Coils by Nature, and that's Coils with a K. We're at www.coilsbynature.com. We also have an amazing free app. Our app is free. It's on Google Play, and it's on the iTunes. What's that? App Store. You can go to the App Store and you can find it. And when you download our app, you get $10. So we'll send you a $10 code, and you can buy anything in the store and save $10. And you can also follow me, Pamela J. Booker. That's my personal. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and you can always email us at info@coilsbynature.com.
Hold on. Your IG is Pamela J. Booker?
Yeah.
What? I ain't know. Hold on.
I'm going to be launching like a right website now. And stuff soon. Yeah, I'm going to
follow
do
you right now.
I'm going to have to do something.
Okay, that's what's up. So I really appreciate you for coming by.
Thank you.
Amazing interview.
Thank you.
You are a legend in our community.
Oh.
If you don't know now, 10 years down the line, trust me, when everybody has Coils by Nature in their household, you're going to be like, Sean was right.
I want to be the Blue Magic.
You want to be the Blue Magic?
I want to be the Blue Magic. That's what I'm striving to be.
Blue Magic.
Let me tell you, people are still buying Blue Magic.
You right.
And I want to be the Blue Magic.
You right.
I want Coils by Nature to be the Blue Magic. Everybody got a job, Blue Magic. Either the blue one or the green one. Everybody got one. I want every Black household to have Coils by Nature.
That's what's up. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for having us.
It was beautiful. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And if you get an opportunity, go ahead and follow us on YouTube at Bougie Black Bros. Follow us on Twitter, Bougie Black Bro. You can actually follow me on IG. Stop calling me. Stop calling me without the G. Appreciate you. Have a good one. Peace.